delighted to have you in the podcast where all stories are welcome and the masks come off. Hello, Anjali.
Hi, Sheba.
Welcome to Soul Brews with Sheba and on Coffee and Soul. And I'm so delighted you made the time to have this Soul Brew with me. Thank you so much, Anjali.
Sheba, I have a lot of time. And I'm delighted to spend it with you.
Wonderful. I hope you have your cup of coffee ready with you.
I have it ready. I don't know whether you can see it, but it's right here.
I can. If you raise it up a little higher, I'll be able to see it.
There you go. Right. It's an espresso shot.
Lovely. Here's to life. Here's to great conversation.
Oh my God, yes, conversation. Don't we miss it?
So I'm going to ask you to just nestle this cup of coffee between your palms.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And if you can just sit back, close your eyes. Mm-hmm. And see, let the warmth seep in and see what comes up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes. And...
Yeah, so you nestle the coffee, you relax, and the mind goes away.
Yeah.
That is the lovely thing about what's been happening lately. But as... It's easy to call it, I don't think lovely is a good word, actually. What this period of COVID has done for me is, in any case, I was moving towards it, but COVID hastened the process. I was experimenting with removing all things from my life that I define myself by. You know, it's very easy to define yourself by activity.
Mm.
So, you know, I used to work, I have worked for many, many years, and I was the coordinator for many years as well, who counts, with cancer support, and I worked with palliative care with cancer patients. Yeah, moved away from that after some 14, 15 years. Then we used to do this public event in Gurgaon that we enjoyed so much that we no longer could do.
That's Gurgaon itself.
Yeah. That's the Gurgaon itself.
Yeah.
And so the two very major interests in my life, I moved away from, and I was very interested in seeing how I, which is my persona, would react to the taking away of, the pillar supports of my persona. I met a friend of mine the other day for a meal, and she said, God, you look different because I've just been for a holiday. And she said, but when I met you 15 days ago, the word you were using for yourself was vaporized. And yes, that's how it felt. It felt like, you didn't exist.
It's identity.
And the identity didn't exist. I mean, not shaken. It wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
So it's been an interesting journey. I don't know whether I made that great jump as a result of it, of that, in terms of I follow the Advaita philosophy. So I don't know whether I was able to make the jump, but I definitely had the experience.
Well, that is fabulous. Talk to me a little bit more. So where are you today on your journey? And before we get into understanding your journey, and I'd love for you to take us through some of your highs and lows, defining moments, what made you do the things you do and you did. Before that, where are you today?
Mm-hmm. Today, right now.
Right now.
I'm a happy girl, you know. I'm just happy to be around. It's, there's nothing like a... So the last week, there's also, when we say now, what we also have to pay attention to the fact is that emotions play into any situation that you're in.
Of course.
You know, so as of now, because I'm fresh out of a holiday in the forest where we spent like 14 hours just rattling around in the Satpura ranges in the forest.
Lovely.
Just being close to nature. There's something about that that brings you back. Just what is it? Does it connect you to the earth? Does it just center you? Whatever it does, it takes away stress of every kind, and therefore, yeah, it's right now. It's a good time, but it's because it, you know, the however you are at any point of time is just at that point of time. Maybe you'll move on from there.
Absolutely. You know, these Japanese have this wonderful concept of forest bathing and what it does to you. And what you seem to be describing in this time that you spent in the ranges, it's probably, I mean, I just, that word, that phrase just came to my,
Yes, yes, they do forest bathing, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's absolutely true. It's just, it's even when you sit on a lawn and on the ground.
Yeah.
We're basically... We become all about the mind, but there is such a strong instinct.
Absolutely.
That functions as well.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful to connect with that again, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, always. Always.
Yeah. So, Anjali, tell me more about and so you've shared where you were, say, a week before and where you are today. Share a little bit about your life, you know, your journey. How has it been? What have been some of your defining moments? Love to hear.
So, Shiva, I don't know about my defining moments. Mm. I think I have a very liquid way of looking at my life. I don't really hold it. Yeah, I don't really hold it. I hold some emotions, and those are largely of great love, where I've received and given great love. But events, I don't hold them. Mm. I don't have them. Mm. I actually don't have them. even if I'm asked, sometimes I'm, you know, I try and remember, I meet old friends and they remind me of something and I'm looking at them like, I don't think I should be looking glassy eyed here, but I don't remember.
So it's not the events, it's the moments, right? It's the powerful emotion in the moments, and that's what I'm hearing. And we play it back to you. That is what has been the milestones on your journey, is those powerful moments of deep love and deep connection, maybe.
And those are they're not moments, they develop and they're over time. So and they continue to enrich. And they continue to hassle. You know how it is.
Yeah, it has its own life, doesn't it?
Emotions have their own life. Yeah. And of course, as you know, Advaita is all about getting beyond that.
It's true. I don't think there's getting beyond before going through, you know. You have to go through to go beyond, I feel. But I don't know what you think about that.
Yes, you have to acknowledge. If you don't acknowledge, you know, then there's nothing. You have to acknowledge whatever it is. But in the acknowledgement, if you can look at it with a certain, I'm afraid of using terms that have now begun to be used so frequently that they've lost all meaning. Mm. But with a certain degree of awareness, that means that you, or perception that you actually see. And just when you actually are able to see, you actually get removed that one step because you're looking. Mm. You're not in it, you're looking, even as you're in it. I don't know if I'm in any way, if it's sounding like gibberish, but it's a practice.
Yeah, I'm with you totally on that. And I resonate with that. Can you, and it doesn't have to be, of course, your darkest, deepest, but any kind of an example you'd like to give of something that happened and you looked at and you really saw it with the eyes that see, and it left you, it went, or it kind of, whatever happened to it.
Oh,
it
yes. Resolved. Oh, yes. And many times I needed advice. Mm-hmm. I needed to hear the word from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then realize what I was doing. It wasn't always my bird that was looking. Something got said and I realized, oh, help, that is where I am, you know, that's what I'm doing. And the minute I moved away, that made a lot of difference. Mm. So, I think one really momentous one was when my mother passed away. And, mm. She had a complicated relationship with her daughter-in-law. Mm. And I moved into that house while she was thing. And I now have, I'm totally comfortable in that relationship, but at that time I was very uncomfortable in that relationship. That was my great turning point. At that time, I could have picked up all the baggage that was my mother's and hers, mm. and carried it on my back, mm. or I could have left it, and I left it.
Was there a moment of choice? Was there a moment of...
There was a clear mm. choice made. There was a clear choice made.
And were you aware of that moment where the choice yes. was there? You were at
yeah,
choice.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, yes, yes. It was a clear choice. Mm. It was a clear choice. I could have carried that. Mm. And very easily I was moving towards carrying it. The anger was building. Mm. And then I suddenly, it just was a word from somebody. I don't know what it was, but then it became clear. That my mother's left all this behind her, and in fact she moved on. What am I doing? And it's not and it's not my baggage anyway. Mm. It's their baggage.
Fabulous. That's really powerful.
I left it.
Yeah.
I just left it. So so there are moments in one's life where it's where they actually we make very clear choices as we go along. The point is that we don't realize we are exercising choices. We feel overcome by the emotion of the moment, and mm. therefore feel that we are not exercising a choice. We are not making a choice. Mm. So that is why it's important to be able to look at our emotion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose what you said right at the beginning, in awareness versus circumstances compelling you to choose, which you are going to do anyway. But with awareness, if you do it, it's a very, very different thing. And I think that's what you were also alluding to earlier on in this conversation.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know in terms of action how much... I'm more and more beginning to think action's not that important.
Speak a little bit more about that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Action's too easy. Activity consumes you. You feel that you are useful. You begin to feel that there's a role for you. Yeah, all very easily done. But what life has taught me over the years, even the role of a mother, my role as a mother now is to, for a long time, has been to stop being the mother I was, you know. I don't need to play that role any longer. So it's always a process of, you know, if you're consumed by activity, then you many times you don't stop to notice. But you even in activity, you need to stop to notice. Mm-hmm. And in my case, somehow activity has become not so important. What can I say?
Oh, you're saying a lot. So stop being the mother that you were. Interesting. Explore that a little more.
Yeah, easy. Every mother goes through it, okay? Mm-hmm. This whole, you know, you were the center of your child's existence at one point of time. then that becomes not important because you're more a philosopher and guide. And then hopefully your child makes has a good, strong partner, and you're no longer philosopher and guide either, other than, you know, when and if that is needed.
Yeah, so that you it know, keeps evolving, and you keep changing with
and
the...
And you become you become just that person that I that your child knows loves him or her.
Yeah,
and that love is just you know, it just, that's all. There's no, you know, sometimes that there's an expectation of a role, and for a lot of mothers there's a very active expectation of a role these days with children coming back into their families and families actually going back to joint families where parents and children are learning to live with each other when they are adults. And that is a, that's a whole different role. I mean, that needs magnanimity and wisdom. That is amazing, but I'm not expected to play that role. So, for me, it's very gentle. It's just like a perfume. That's what I see myself, my role as.
Is that a metaphor for you now? It's like a perfume. Like you're like,
I
you
hope
know, just
it is. I hope I'm smelling really good.
Well, to me, even through this medium, you definitely are. You definitely are. It's like a mellow cup of coffee. Don't go beyond coffee, but a mellow, beautiful cup of coffee. And I think that that comes across so beautifully, Anjali. Your work with CanSupport.
Yeah.
How was it? What made you do that? And what was that journey like? Because it's been such a...
It was an amazing journey. Yeah. Amazing. Oh my God, so good. Okay, so the first thing is that it teaches you total humility, and you learn that you're not the giver. You realize that the person who allows you to enter their life, it is their generosity and their magnanimity that allows you to play any kind of role. And God, the courage that one sees, as well as total loss of heart as well. But you see the human race is in a different light. You know, relationships that are so, they're relationships that break because of the of the disease. They're relationships that become so amazingly strong. Where, you know, husbands give up their lives, their earning, they come to, because these were very poor folk, come to Delhi, live in really difficult circumstances to take care of their loved ones and their wives. It was a period of great growth for me individually. And I was indebted that I was allowed, and I was able to access that. I mean, I was just in awe of the people I dealt with. I never thought that I had any answer to anybody. I was just the listener. I could work on some stuff and set up some kind of infrastructure to help. But basically, I think it's the emotional thing that I found really powerful. We did a lot of work in the sense of we were a band of volunteers and we functioned entirely on volunteers. Later we became, we had more paid professionals from CanSupport also entering the daycare. This is just the daycare arm of CanSupport. CanSupport is a very powerful arm of home care where teams go out to patients' homes and takes care of them. And through this entire COVID period, they've been very active and they've taken care of their patients. But the daycare was just run by volunteers. And the thought behind it was that the kind of experience that we had got as an organization through palliative care, emotional care for cancer patients was really, really important. And that's where we came in. And it was great to work with volunteers because they're all self-motivated, mm-hmm. you know. So, and there's a particular tribe that becomes a volunteer kind of person. It was very interesting. So both from volunteers and patients, it was just learning all mm-hmm. the time. It was lovely.
What is this particular tribe that becomes volunteers? What are the characteristics? How do you see it?
They go outside of themselves and their area of comfort. They're prepared to step out. They are prepared to commit time, resources for very little, for the reward of, you know, the reward is not monetized. So it's so obviously the reward is felt in a very different way.
Absolutely.
And the fact that we had volunteers that have been with us for 14 years and 16 years, I mean, goes to say something. It also was an organization that, because it was founded by a volunteer, really understands what motivates a volunteer. So it is a different tribe. It doesn't monetize. It gives with an open heart, and it sits there with the heart chakra wide open. I think that's what makes it a different tribe. Yeah. The heart chakra is really active.
Yeah, and I don't have to be. That is beautiful. That is beautiful, Anjali. And it's something I resonate deeply with when you say this, because it just sounds so true. I mean, there has to be a tremendous amount of heart and generosity to be able to do this work. What led you to it? Why? What made you do this?
Oh, it was just my father died. And I always believed he was a great friend of mine. And I always believe that when the big tree falls, now that I look back on it, when the big tree falls, the small tree looks to grow. And it was just a very strong feeling of I have to give back into the seva ka bhav bahut tha. Even though I had worked with CRY earlier in Bombay and had a very great time with them, we had created Bal Sawal, this huge event across Bombay. So there was this very strong thing. And Hardeep went to, that's my husband, went to play golf on some tournament organized by CanSupport. And there was an evening after that. I kept looking at Hardeep and saying, now, where is the point at which you're going to, you must give some money to this organization. Now, where is the point at which you're giving this money? And I met all these lovely women, and the passion that they had. And I said, oh my God, this is the kind of space I want to be in. And that was it.
Okay, and since then, so many years.
Yes, it's been many years.
Yeah,
I haven't been directly going to the daycare now for well over a year, but COVID, even before COVID, I eased off on that because I needed to move away. It was a part of my exercise.
I understand. We had spoken about this once before also, Anjali, when you had said that you were looking at moving away. And I do want to say, what I see in what you're, and I'm going to play it back to you, you need to tell me how that lands with you, is that there is this wonderful, beautiful urge of celebrating life, be it through working with the situation of cancer for people, or through something like Gurgaon Utsav, which again is a celebration of life in a very different form. Has that been, and I'm picking up that thread, in the way that you are talking about all the things that you have done, including the stepping away, the moving away, the feeling, the wafting like a perfume. How does that land with you? Is that like a theme? And is that something you've thought of? That's basically it's.
You know, it's also, I think many times it's what grabs you at that moment. It's the fact that Uma and I became partners pretty early in Labanam. We lived in Labanam, and we liked to create these little exciting events for joy.
Yeah,
that it gave
exactly.
us. And
exactly.
And for some reason, I'm always attracted to the public. I'm a volunteer at heart. I am not able to monetize. Not that I don't have respect for monetization, because I could not have followed my heart and done what I wanted to do in my life if there hadn't been somebody in the family who was prepared to monetize.
Sure.
So it's opportunities that come up, and then many you let go and some you embrace. And then some of them are fortunate decisions, and both these were really fortunate decisions. It's just been lovely.
Yeah.
And what goes on, what happens in the future, I have no idea. Now, from cleaning the slate to now, will the slate get filled up again? I've been waiting for the manna to land, but I'm not quite getting, I don't really know where I'm going yet.
That's all right. It's a great, great place to be able to waft for a while, isn't it? So
it really not is. Always easy. Not no, always easy no. to waft.
Yeah. No, and I don't try.
You also get vaporized.
Yeah, you talked about that. But the fact is, and I do want to bring this back up, because this is such an interesting conversation, is from vaporize, it came to wafting, no? Like a perfume. And it was almost like a growth in that. There seems to be such a beautiful evolution from vaporize to wafting.
But wafting is altogether better than vaporizing. I'm telling you, vaporizing was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes... to be uncomfortable is important.
Yeah.
To be comfortable doesn't always work.
Yeah.
We're always rushing back to that space of comfort.
Absolutely.
And so I'm deeply suspicious of it.
Yeah.
As uncomfortable as I am with the other.
Anjali, what is कुछ भी कह दीजिए
ना इधर के ना उधर के
हाँ वो इधर के भी और उधर के भी इधर के भी और उधर के भी नो इट्स लाइक नॉट रेस्टिंग इन द ईदर और बट गोइंग इनटू द एंड योर यूनिक लेगेसी योर टू यू नो एवरी वेल लेट्स जस्ट Every human being has a unique gift to offer, because nobody is you. A unique perspective, a unique lens. What do you think yours is? What's your gift?
I don't know, Shiva. Maybe to accept. To feel love, and not sit on too much judgment. I can't say I don't sit on judgment at all, but yeah, it's something that I try and avoid.
That's beautiful and very powerful. Thank you.
Oh, but I wish I would be without judgment, okay? There are many relationships where it pops right back up again.
Yeah.
But yes, we've been, it's great when one doesn't have it. Because it's so much more fulfilling, and the relationship is just so much more fun.
Exactly.
if one could just get over oneself. And life is so much more fun if one could get over oneself.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
You know, Shiva, I've never talked so much about myself. I think I pretty much said, plenty.
Is there anything you'd like to say for people who are just starting out, who are, on their way, on the path, figuring out, getting the,
one thing, just one thing. You know, when we fly to safety with the familiar, many times one does not explore one's own potential. One just give oneself a chance to explore one's potential, rather than manage environment and manage people around one, to just explore one's potential, because we are just so full of potential. We are so magnificent creatures. Should just give ourselves a chance. I really believe that. I mean, yeah. I've seen this time and time again.
Yeah,
we make our own limitations, and we feel that, and especially, I don't know whether the younger generation, but women of our generation learned to blame or place, forget blame, but place our limitations on somebody else's shoulder. You know, my father didn't give me this chance. My husband does this. I think at some point of time, we have to all, whether this generation or the next, take responsibility for ourselves. And that is the toughest responsibility. Freedom is the greatest responsibility. There cannot be another more onerous responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that note, freedom is the greatest responsibility. Thank you so much for spending this time on a Soul Brew with me. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I hope it has been good for you as well. And
I think I've enjoyed, you know, it's interesting to talk about yourself. You know this. Always.
Thank you so much, Anjali, for making the time. Really appreciate your having this Soul Brew with me.
Thank you, Shiva. Thank you for, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and it's been, certain metaphors continue to waft around me. It will. So I'm very appreciative of that one. Thank you.
Bye, Shiva.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for your time and attention, and for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva. Until next week, keep the coffee swirling.